They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We are back together again for the first show of 2018. Happy and blessed New Year, fellas.
Woo-hoo. Happy New Year, Rob.
Yeah.
You guys celebrate, watch the ball drop.
And then went to bed. Yep.
Did you really?
Well, the girls wanted to, yeah. So we had to keep them up and then try to get them to bed as quick as possible.
Did either of you ever do New York Times Square?
No, that's crazy.
No.
That's insanity.
I did in 2002, but couldn't get within four blocks of it and watched it on a hotel bar lobby at the W.
Bro, it was minus 10 wind chill.
Oh,
no, that's crazy. I had to watch Mariah to see if she was going to train wreck. I mean, that was the
she
only
was good
reason.
Though. She was really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
This time.
She didn't get her cup of tea, but you know,
poor thing needed that cup of tea. But no, Hero made me cry though.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she did a great rendition of that. But it is a new year. It is a new year. It is 2018. And for so many of us, right, you hear new year, new you, New Year's resolution, and all that fun stuff. But we're not going to talk about the gym or losing weight or getting in shape.
There's other reasons why we're not doing that too, by the way.
All those typical goals that people have to start a new year. I did go to the gym yesterday Year's Day, right? And what? I hadn't been in 3 weeks as my elbow was healing, and now it's feeling a lot better. It was packed.
Of course,
right?
It was.
And it was New Year. I thought maybe they'll start on the second. It was packed. But here's the thing. So yesterday, what was yesterday? About 13 degrees, maybe wind chill minus four.
It was nuts.
So as I get out of the car, all you see are my eyeballs. That's it. I got ski masks, gloves, everything. I got ski pants on, park, everything, right? And here comes a girl walking out of the gym in a tank top. I mean, nothing else on. It made me angry. And I was like, I got to talk to these guys. Like, why did I get so angry seeing someone? Like, why did that bother me so much? Like, it's so freezing cold out here, and you're walking around in a tank top. Why?
It was a good workout, probably.
Probably hot. And my mom always told me when I was a kid, like, when you leave the gym, like, wherever you are, if you're hot and then you go in a cold, you're going to catch pneumonia and die.
That's
what I learned.
Yeah,
like, there's no
don't
in
go
between.
Outside. Yeah, exactly.
You catch, like, I learned you don't go, if you shower, you got to dry yourself off. You can't.
You can't go out with a wet head, right?
Can't go to bed with a wet head,
used
to tell me.
You're going
to
catch your death.
Yeah,
right?
Actually a huge pet peeve of mine, but, you know, that's cool.
That you believe it or you don't?
I don't believe it. Actually the opposite, that actually by exposing yourself to extreme temperatures and
changes.
Think about this. You're inside all the time and your environment adapts to you.
That's
right.
Correct,
you set it at 71, it always stays 71. When you're outside, your body adapts to the environment, which actually makes you stronger.
That's true. Well, I mean, it's the same way, I think, Doug, too, with, you know, what we talked about with, you know, when people stay away from germs all the time, your immune system actually does.
Correct.
It gets weaker, not stronger. So, you know, when you are never around people because you're germophobic, you actually are more susceptible to germs. I wasn't pointing anyone out.
I'm not talking about anybody specific.
First of all, you made me feel bad about myself because you went to the gym yesterday, right? Did you know how I put that in there?
I didn't go today.
We're talking about new beginnings and all the rest of people
today.
Were out of shape. I went yesterday.
You said we're not talking about the gym.
I went right to the gym.
I didn't go today because I'm here.
I appreciate that.
I'm here doing this. But
I wonder if Brian went to the gym. I don't think so.
As he's eating like chocolate
pizza.
Right now.
Looks like a Twix right there. He's eating
Twix
a Twix.
Bar.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So basically what you guys are telling me is go into germ-infested places, expose yourself to it. Don't bring your alcohol spray and everything.
Bro, you
else.
Do it all the time when you go in the locker room. You're so
That's
around
true.
All
that
of that and it's, yeah.
Oh, have you ever been in an NHL locker room?
Oh, no.
It is the most foul-smelling thing I have ever seen. Those pads that they're wearing afterwards.
Ooh.
But yeah, it's disgusting. All right, let's get back on track. So,
what was your point? What was your point?
Everybody who has all those New Year's resolutions and all those goals. Hey, I wish you all a ton of success. I hope to see you in the gym in February. I hope you're also there in March and in April and you continue to do it and you accomplish all those things on your New Year's resolutions. But it is New Year, new beginnings. That's what we want to talk about. New Year, new beginnings, new life in Jesus Christ. And our guest is going to be this week Dallas Cowboys linebacker Anthony Hitchens. Anthony and two of his teammates, Kayvon Frazier and Justin March Lillard, were baptized in a team's underwater Where did we hear that before? They were baptized in the team's underwater treadmill pool last month. And at one point after that, the video was at 2 million views. I don't know where it is right now. I couldn't track it down again. But at one point, it was 2 million views. So we're going to hear from Anthony Hitchens next segment. We know that the Eagles have done these baptisms in their pool the past two years. We know that in October, Pastor Kyle baptized wide receiver Marcus Johnson in a hotel pool in Charlotte before the Eagles beat the Panthers in a Thursday night game. And you know you were watching Marcus Johnson on Sunday thinking he's going to get a touchdown.
I was
now.
So proud of him, man. I love that guy.
And he got close, man. He made a couple catches. They didn't get in the end zone, but he got a couple catches.
Some nice young receivers. Mac Hollins is fantastic. Marcus. Yeah, they're gonna be all right.
All they need to do is get J-Matt back next year, and they'll be good to go. So if you want to talk about new starts, fresh starts, new beginnings, new year, new you, that baptism there, that's the ultimate. There's nothing that's going to compare to a new you, like a new life in Jesus. When you surrender your life to Christ, you're going to get that new you that you can't get any other way, that the gym is not going to give you, that no money's going to give you, that no other kind of joy or peace or happiness is as everlasting or as eternal as it is in Jesus. And here's a Bible verse that I tweeted out on right after the ball dropped. It's from 2 Corinthians 5:17, and Paul said this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. So we've talked about the significance of adult baptism when Marcus Johnson was our guest. So let's talk about what happens next when you make that commitment. Then what? And we're going to hear what Anthony says about that, because he made that commitment a month ago. He said he was baptized before, too, as well, as a kid. But what happens next after you make that commitment? And we have often said, fellas, how life isn't easier, it becomes harder.
Yeah,
you have to be prepared for that. You have to be prepared when you make that commitment that life doesn't get easier for you just because you put your hand up in church at an altar call, or you took that next step and made a public profession of your faith and were baptized as an adult in water immersion. No, life is going to become a little bit more difficult because now you're walking closer to the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you're walking closer to the Lord, the enemy's going to attack you a whole lot more. And it's a lot more difficult to do what you're supposed to do the right things, than it is to do whatever it is you wanted to do before when you were the old you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, we use an analogy of, you know, it was a long time ago when I was in eighth grade, a really, really long time ago. But, you know, when you were, the transition from when you graduated eighth grade, you went into freshman year of high school.
Which is no longer freshman, right?
I don't even know what it is
apparently
anymore, right?
Now it's gonna like, call it first year.
Yeah, I know.
Freshman
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird. But when you go there, like, I didn't do anything to get there. The graduation put me there. But when you step in as a freshman into high school, there's a brand new culture you have to learn. There's a brand new way of doing life. There's a brand new, you know, you have to go to multiple classes. You have multiple teachers. You know, teachers aren't spoon feeding you your assignments anymore. You know, there's an entire different culture, a way of doing something. Your graduation from eighth grade puts you there. When you graduate in Christ, when you get saved, it's stepping into a new culture. So you're going to be there. You just have to learn how to, Rob. You know, how do we adjust? How do we learn the culture? And so much of Christianity really is a dramatic culture change. So we talk about it all the time. You know, Christianity is not about a decision to be saved. It's about a decision to be a disciple of the Savior. And those two things are very different. Being a disciple of the Savior is absolutely a part of salvation. But it's not just about, hey, I want to get out of hell. I want to go to heaven when I die. It's no, there's an entire different me that I have to learn how to be.
I think when you talk about culture too, that's a big piece of it, right? We
Absolutely.
Talk a lot about the culture from our hometown team, Philadelphia Eagles, now, right? They have a lot of guys. Iron sharpens iron is a key term that we hear a lot. So, Rob, we don't have to get into specifics about this, but you were talking about the culture from the couple minutes that you were in the Cowboys locker room the other day, and you could feel that there's a huge difference in that locker room compared to what you felt within the Eagles locker room, right? And so when he makes that decision, you have to look at the culture that's surrounding him that may make it harder, or in Marcus Johnson's case, may make it easier because he has those guys
right.
around him.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think as you make decisions for 2018, that's something that you want to keep in mind. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you spending your time with? Who are you using to hold yourself accountable to?
Absolutely.
And that's probably one of the biggest decisions you can make besides deciding to make a decision.
Yeah.
A lot of times when you become a new person in Jesus Christ, the new you has to leave the old you behind. So the new you leaves the old you behind, that sometimes means you're leaving old friends behind. You're leaving old acquaintances behind, sometimes even family members. And we know that Jesus talked about this as well in the Bible, where sometimes your family may not be on mm-hmm. board with who you are now. And you have to walk with him. Jesus asked his disciples to leave everything behind and come follow me. And that is a big part of it. As we talk about, guys, what we talk about is what's next. We say life isn't easier. It's going to be harder. You got to be prepared for it. But what prepares you for what the difficulties that you're going to encounter? And that's going to be, you got to get in the Word and stay in the Word. And Anthony's going to talk about that a little bit. It is studying the Bible, studying the Word, getting in it, having a good environment around you, as you were saying, a good culture of people. Surround yourself with like-minded Christians. And you know, I feel like it's really important is to constantly pray to the Holy Spirit to change your heart, because you may have accepted Christ, but the old you and your old ways and your old value and your old thinking and the old way that you used to do things, it's going to keep coming up a little bit.
Absolutely.
And you have to pray for a change of heart, because if you change, and I talked about this before, if you change from the inside, you can change from the outside.
Correct.
And that goes for not just being a Christian, but that goes for, hey, if your goals are for the New Year's to be in shape, to lose weight, right?
Yep.
You gotta want to do that.
Yeah.
You gotta really hate the ramifications of what's the opposite of doing that.
Yes.
Like, you gotta reach that point at some time where you look in the mirror and you say, I don't like this, so much so that I want to make a change.
Yeah.
So you got to change your perspective and change the way you think in order to achieve the outward physical appearance change that you want to make. And the same goes for changing the way you think and your lifestyle and your attitude and your friendship and your values and everything else with other people when you accept Jesus and you become a new person in him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, we talk about this with our kids a lot, and we've gone through some parenting classes called Shepherding a Child's Heart. By Paul Tripp. And you know, when we look at trying to modify our kids' behavior, that's one thing. You know, we can say, hey, you know, we're gonna give you a piece of candy if you do the right thing,
right,
but they may just do that for the reward. But when you talk about modifying your heart and changing your attitude towards things, you know, you can go to the gym, but if your heart's not in it, if your mind's not in it, it's not going to make the right decision. You know, you're gonna fail at that point.
Oh, you're physically there, right? You're physically there, but you're going through the motions.
Correct.
Or you're physically there, going through the motions, doing some kind of exercise, doing some kind of work. I said we weren't going to talk about the gym, but it makes such a great analogy.
We'll talk about eating or whatever else you
because
do too.
It all works hand in hand, though. If you don't do the right amount of cardio, if you don't eat the right way, if you're going to the gym but you're eating junk food, well, that's not going to help you. If you're going to the gym and not working on strength training but only doing jumping jacks and doing cardio, well, you're not going to build muscle either. And the same way is with being a Christian. If you accept Jesus but don't do anything about it and say, here I am, Lord, I'm saved, here I am, but then you go back to your old habits, or you don't study the Bible, you don't get in the Word, you don't follow the right path, you don't get yourself involved in a church, in a group with people who are going to help get you further and challenge you a little bit. You got to be around people who challenge you.
And Rob, you're so right in all of that, because all those things help refine and reshape the culture that we need to be in. I just want to make sure we start from the right place, because it's all about who is influencing your life. Who's actually the one that's speaking into the culture, defining the culture, reinforcing the culture? And, you know, Doug said about friends and iron sharpening iron, and that's absolutely true. But we can't simply have adjust our outward actions. We actually have to fall in love with Jesus. This has to be from a result of falling in love with him, intimacy with him, allowing him to speak into our life and change the motive of our heart, change the desires of our heart. Because if all we're doing, I grew up in religion. I grew up in can't, don't, shouldn't. And there was a lot of external change, but it left internal guilt and shame, frustration, disappointment, disillusionment, entitlement, pride, all those things that are in there that never actually produced intimacy with Jesus. Matter of fact, it robbed intimacy with Jesus.
Wow.
So, you know, the ultimate in this has to start with what am I doing to be a better person or what am I doing to be a better Christian? It's how am I falling more in love with Jesus today? Where did my intimacy level with him? Did it increase or decrease today? You know, all of us are, the three of us are married. And if we don't actually do something to fall more in love with our wives, every day, if we're not working on our love relationship, come on.
Sometimes it's hard,
right?
Man.
We can do all the right actions. Yeah, but I did the laundry. Yeah, but I picked up the I picked up the groceries. Yeah, but I did. And she's going to say to me, but she didn't spend any time with me. but my heart still, but I still feel a distance. So I just want to make sure as we talk about new beginnings that the new beginning we're really getting at is today, not reading the word so that I'm a better Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Reading his diary. Reading his truth, reading his, hearing his voice, so that we fall more in love with him.
And when you surround yourself with these people, it's important, as you're saying, it's not about pleasing them.
Correct.
No matter what level of their journey, where they are in Christ, you shouldn't have to try it. If we live our lives to impress other men, other women, other people, if you live your life to impress man, you'll be disappointed and you'll live an unfulfilled life.
That's right.
Your focus and your main goal is to impress God. If you live your life to be somebody who cares about what the clicks you're getting on your social media post and everything else, you're never going to be fulfilled. You're never going to be happy. And even if you're walking whatever as closely as you think you may be, but if your first concern is, what do people think about me? And you're concerned about how you look and your perception, and you're not concerned about only pleasing the Lord first, because sometimes pleasing the Lord isn't going to be a popular decision.
Truth.
It's going to get you, it's going to make some enemies for you. It's going to make some people not look at you the same, and people may think differently of you, and you may be called a Jesus freak. You may be called all these derogatory terms.
That's right.
I welcome. You welcome them. We all do.
So here's the thing, too, is it has to be a day-by-day, step-by-step. And this is where I fail. You know, you have a couple good days, you have a couple good weeks, and all of a sudden you start feeling pretty good about yourself.
Absolutely.
Or you start seeing some great victories, and you see God working, and you're kind of like, oh, that's awesome. And you kind of rest on what just happened.
Yes.
Right? As opposed to looking for the next day, where you kind of start fresh again. So I think that's one of my challenges for 2018, is to be consistent and take it day-by-day, as opposed to resting on what happened 2 months ago and thinking, hey, that worked out really well. But since then, 2 months has been a long time, and I failed miserably since then. You know,
it's so true. Like what you just said is like, you know, when Joshua took the promised land, he was having victory after victory after victory. But then they got complacent in the victories and allowed some of the enemy to stay. Intermarry.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for us to, you know, we talk a lot about having frenemies. You know, there's things in your life that have been there for so long that there are things from the enemy in your life, but they're comfortable to you now. This is just the way that you are. This is the way I've always been. This is the addiction I go back to, or the thing that comforts my soul. You know, God's been really speaking to me about Jeremiah 1:10, where God says, look, I've appointed you over nations. I've appointed you to actually uproot and tear down, to overthrow and then to build, overthrow and destroy, and then to build and to plant. And that's, for me, a really kind of good three-step kind of thought process. He said, look, I've given you the ability. I actually have a desire for you to rule above the things that are trying to rule you. But, hey, you got to uproot some stuff. Hey, there are some weeds you've let get in your life. You got to actually uproot. That Hebrew word actually means to rip out from the roots with force. You know, you got to tear down some things. You got to destroy some things. That there are some enemy strongholds that you and I have let in our lives, some addictions, things that we fall back on, some dysfunction that we've called frenemies now. Allowed the strongholds to stay. No, we've got to actually go after those things. And then build and plant. So we're trying to build and plant while we still have enemies in our land. We're trying to build and plant while we're still having weeds in the garden. We're trying to sow good seed in there. But the Bible says when you plant good seed where the weeds are, right, the weeds choke out the good seed.
Got to get that weed whacker out.
So
right?
I don't think we can do that by our own. And that's why I want to go back to that, what you said earlier, Rob. Every action of the Holy Spirit should have a physical reaction in our life. So every action of the Spirit in our heart should have a physical reaction in our life. But we can try to change the outside without ever changing the inside. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to actually really convict us and bring change on the inside so that we can change the outside.
And you know your insides. You know, you can fool people. You can fool friends. You can fool family. You can try and make all these outward changes in appearance and in attitude and in how you're treating everyone. But what are you saying under your breath sometimes? What are you feeling in your heart? So you know that, and God knows that. So you're not fooling him.
Yeah.
And if you're honest with yourself, you're not fooling yourself. So that's why you really have to get, you know, we all have to get on that part of praying to the Holy Spirit for that change. That change in the change in heart, the change in perspective is what will be the root of all that outward change that we're going to eventually get to.
Really good.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Cowboys linebacker Anthony Hitchens, and he's going to talk a little bit about his new beginning, and that was a baptism last month in the Cowboys underwater treadmill pool. You are listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field show presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. I had a chance to catch up with Dallas Cowboys linebacker Anthony Hitchens and talk to him about his recent baptism. Here is that interview. Anthony, tell me about your baptism and how that represents a new beginning, a new start for you in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was a new beginning for me. I got baptized when I was real young, but it wasn't a self-decision. It was a family thing. We all got baptized just because, you know, our parents told us. So it was a new beginning. It was me actually giving myself to the Lord, saying, like, my hands are up. I'm all in for you. And so I just thought it was time, you know. It took time, and I wanted to make sure it was the right time, and it was perfect. And you know, I couldn't thank Jonathan for doing that for me.
How has your life or your walk, your journey with the Lord changed since that day?
I think it makes me look at different things in a bigger perspective. I was more of just me, and now it's just not even that. It's I'm always looking to help others grow in life and Christ and everything, and my, like, just become closer to my wife, and it makes me play free. When you just give all your burden to the Lord, and you're just free at life, and you're free at playing sports, and you just everything's free. My shoulder just relaxed. I just feel so free, and it was the best decision I ever made. I'm just continuing, even learning more and more. Just because I did that, I still ain't to where I need to be. I'm still learning more. This off season, I'm gonna, read more books, go to more things, and just to learn. I want to know it inside and out. So I'm very excited for off season for that reason. So I'm looking forward to it.
How important is it for players like yourself and others with this platform to use it to share Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very important. We got a lot of followers and a lot of people that would look up to us. And I always say I'm blessed. People say, well, you did this and this. And I just want to thank God, for the opportunity. So many other guys can be in this situation. With my life going up and down and having these different routes, and why me? I'm blessed. So for me, I'm just always trying to give back.
Thank you, man. We wish you a happy new year and a blessed beginning. Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate it. If you
like. And that is Cowboys linebacker Anthony Hitchens. As we said at the top, he was baptized with a couple teammates, Kayvon Frazier, and they were baptized in an underwater treadmill pool last month. Actually, it was on my birthday on December 5th, and the other player was Justin March Lillard. And what he's saying there is a lot of what we were talking about at the top. He said his baptism was the best thing that happened to him. He's all in. He's all in with Jesus, and he had been all me.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And by doing that, he's saying he's looking to help others and himself grow in Christ. He said something that I thought was really important, because he gave his burdens to Christ, and it makes him play free. And you don't have to be an athlete to feel the weight of the world or the weight of the burdens lifted off you. Because I had that same experience when I finally came to Christ after 35 years, and I was in a church at Times Square Church in New York, and I remember feeling the weight of a lot of things that were pulling me. And the number one feeling I tell people when I share my testimony is walking out of that church feeling like the weight of the world had been lifted off me, because I was no longer in this battle by myself, that I now had Christ on my side, and I didn't have to rely on whatever it is that was troubling me at the time or anything else to walk that fight by myself. Now I had the greatest partner, my tag team partner when I want to tag out, and he's going to cut, it's JC. I'm not tagging out to anyone. I'm not tagging out to someone else. It's not John Cena or The Rock. It's somebody who's invincible. It's the guy who took the cross and 3 days later rose up from the cross. So that's how you feel. The weight of the world is lifted off your shoulders. Whatever is burdening you is no longer there. And Anthony talks about playing free. You get an opportunity, Pastor Kyle, to talk to a lot of players. Do they echo that similar sentiment when they accept Christ, that allows them to walk onto that field and maybe change the way they approach the game?
Yeah, I think it's I think you hit the nail on the head, Rob. I think it's all about perspective. It doesn't change their desires, doesn't change their drive. What it changes is their sense of peace, that they're not performing. I love what Carson says all the time, his foundation, audience of one. But when you really grab a hold of that who I'm playing for is really for the praise of God, is really for the approval of Him, and I already have that approval. There's this beautiful moment when Jesus comes up out of the water of baptism, and God speaks, the Father speaks. This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Jesus hadn't healed anybody, preached a message, hadn't walked on water, hadn't cast out a demon, hadn't, stopped the wind and the waves yet. And yet God's approval, the Father's approval, was already on him. He was already loved before he did one thing. And when we can change that perspective, as business people, as parents, as athletes, and say, man, I'm already accepted, whether I catch 14 touchdown passes or I drop a pass, whether I have a bad day at the office or I just got promoted, my peace is not determined, my peace is not held by others, my peace is held in His hand, my approval is held not in the hand of others, it's actually held in His hand. And when we grab a hold of that, when that becomes not just a theology but a reality in our heart. It really does. I love what he said. He said, my shoulders relaxed. What a beautiful picture.
Burden-free.
I'm burden-free, yeah.
Because you go out there and you miss a tackle and you're hearing the boos and, and you're hearing the critics say that you didn't do a good job, you didn't have a good game, and maybe you should be benched. But when you're playing for the Lord and when you have that acceptance and you already realize it, you can deal with everything else. Because no one – we put these athletes on a pedestal sometimes, and no one belongs on a pedestal. But we look at them as – they can never fail at their job. Because if they do, everyone's going to criticize.
Right.
But how many times in whatever walk of life are
have we failed at our job?
We had a microscope, right? Yeah. We had scrutiny on us, and we mess up at our job.
Absolutely.
You know, as a reporter, as a writer, hey, if I make a mistake, that's sometimes it's correctable. People don't realize that. But when you're an ad and you throw an interception as a quarterback and it's a game changer, well, that's in front of millions of people. So it's a lot different. And to have that peace of mind, I think, is so crucial.
So I think for 2018, maybe we could talk about an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Right? So if we start thinking about, just discontentment with what we're doing or the pressure that we're feeling, that just by developing new habits and to do change your perspective, right? And just try and find gratitude even in the failures, even in the tough days. That'd be a pretty cool thing, right? I mean, to turn around and have a bad day and still be grateful afterwards.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is my pastor. Because he's walking with me. There's a sense of, again, it gets back to intimacy. I know we keep talking about it, but in my view, in my experience around the world, there are a lot of people who love it with church. And I think the missing ingredient is being in love with Jesus. This lack of intimacy with our King. And I do think, Doug, what you just said is so true. You know, whatever you focus on, you give power to. So right now, if you're saying, don't eat chocolate cake, what are you going to eat? Chocolate cake. So, that's why in Numbers 13, when God wants to bring them into the promised land, right? And they send 12 spies in. 10 of the spies came back and said, we can't because there's obstacles, there's giants. But we also see ourselves as grasshoppers. We see ourselves as too small. And I think what you're getting at sometimes is we're connected too much to the failures of our past. Like Peter, I failed. I let God down. These guys seeing themselves too small. It really does start in perspective. And in understanding whatever you're going to focus on, if you're focused on your regret, on your shame, on your failure, on all those things, that's actually what you're going to give power to in your life.
Well, one of the key words that people are saying that you should not use is should in your New Year's resolutions. Like, I should go for a run, or I should eat better, because it still kind of leaves this open-endedness to where, I should do it.
Right, but
so,
I should.
So it's a matter of speaking into it a little bit, too, to where, and I actually heard that on the Today Show this morning, so just, kind of hanging out with my wife, having a cup of tea. I'm not drinking coffee, but, having my cup of tea. But it is a matter of perspective. I think the other piece to it is, you talk about going through the valley of the shadow of death and having fear, and during the tough times where we call out to God. But the problem that, honestly, I face sometimes, too, is when I'm on top of the mountain is trying not to take the glory for it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the other side of the perspective, too, is who put me there? Who allowed me to be there? Because, when you get to the top, you're probably going to go down at some point, right?
We were never designed to receive glory. We were only designed to reflect it. So, the truth is we as Christians are like the moon. The moon doesn't have any light in and of itself. It can't contain light. If it tried to contain the light itself, it would actually explode. The radiation would cause it to disintegrate. But it's meant to reflect the light. When we receive glory and try to maintain glory, contain glory, it destroys us.
Well, I think there's also this pressure when we start to do good things and we feel the pressure that we have to continue to do good things, even though we didn't.
Yeah.
Earn it to begin with.
But I would say, I love the story of David, and David is obviously we know the story. He defeats Goliath, right? This huge obstacle. But I love what he says before that. The God who rescued me from the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion is the same God that will save me from this uncircumcised Philistine. And what I've had to learn in that is that we have to have private victories with God before we have public battles for God. And so often...
All right, you have to say that again.
Yeah.
It's going to be a quote.
We have to have private victories with God before we have public battles for God. I think there's a lot of us that want to change things on the outside. We want to fight things on the outside. We want to make you know, major things happen on the outside before we've actually had the private victories. David's strength in that moment wasn't in the fact that he had beat the bear. He had beat the lion. He was very aware of who it was that had in private times. No one was there, right? When the bear came, David was in some distant field. His brothers weren't there. His fathers weren't there. The world wasn't watching. But he had to have those private victories with God before he could ever have a public battle for God, things that needed to change. So I think that's the wrestling point in all this, that if we're not having these private victories with God, there's really no way we can have public change on the outside.
And we talked about, Doug, when you mentioned the attitude of gratitude. Just look at what we're going through with this incredible cold weather right now.
Absolutely.
And
which I'm not grateful for, by the way.
I just want to move to Florida.
I'm just saying, this is ridiculous. Why does God hate New Jersey? That's what I'm saying.
Why are you not back in Florida? But so I've amended every day, wake up and with the girls, and every night before we go to bed, thank you, Lord, for this day. And then thank you. We start off with thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for heat. Has now moved into the top number one on the list.
Yep.
Thank you for another day. Thank you for heat. Because can you imagine that? And we take that for granted. But that's nothing else in your day could go right. Everything could be against you. I told Doug before the show how the first thing that happened to me, first thing on New Year's Day, woke up, got out of bed, walked over to the bathroom, opened the cabinet to take something out, and the entire thing just collapsed, okay? Bottle of cologne falls off the top, splatters on the ground.
Of course it does.
And it's all over the floor, ruined, and now the whole bathroom and the bedroom smells like cologne. And I'm like, this is the first thing that happens on New Year's Day. But you know what? I got heat.
Yeah,
I don't care
bro.
About anything
Come
else.
On.
Our heat's working right now. That's all that matters. No matter what else is going wrong today or tomorrow or the next day, man, just get me through this 13-degree weather.
Absolutely.
And make sure that heat doesn't malfunction, because you hear the horror stories. A friend of ours, I saw him posting on Facebook that their compressor broke or whatever, and I'm like, man, not right now. Because if that happens, I'm going to a hotel room.
Done right.
Right?
I'm out.
I mean, there's no way. So that's part of being the attitude of gratitude that you were talking about, Doug, is no matter what is going on in your life, you got to be thankful for the little things. You got to, if you approach 2018 and you want to make these changes and you want to do this and you want to accomplish that, put in there some gratitude, some thanks for what you already have. Be thankful for all the blessings that you've been given before you try and go out there and accomplish all these other things. Be thankful for where you are.
And I think if you go back to what Anthony said too, is he felt like this weight was lifted off. And we keep coming back to that, but that's really true. So if you don't get rid of old habits and replace them with new habits, I think you still feel that burden all the time. It's still hanging around. It's still that burden. So when you accept Christ, when you give up your day to Christ, then I think that you can really just focus on the new behavior. And my wife read this to me just last night. And so she read it, and it just kind of stuck out to me. I was like, this is something that would work perfect for our topic today. And it's from a devotional from Anne Voskamp. And this is something that she's been reading. And the quote comes from Erasmus, which Pastor Kyle, he's like, I know him. You know, he was good guy, right?
Fantastic scholar.
Admirer of Martin Luther. But he says, a nail is driven out by another nail. Habit is overcome by habit. And I think that makes complete sense, because I think we struggle with trying to get this picture of nail into a piece of wood. We're trying to pull it out, and we're wriggling with it, and it's still it's annoying to us.
Yeah.
But in order to get that out, what we need to do is take another nail and just hammer right through it and replace that nail with another nail. And I think we spend too much time thinking of New Year's resolutions and what activities we want to get rid of or what we want to change. But more importantly, I think we need to replace it with something that is a good behavior. Get rid of a bad behavior, replace it with a good behavior. And so a lot of times we focus on the negative, and we want to change this, we want to change that. But how are we going to change it, and what are we going to replace it with?
Yeah.
Right? And I think we're not very specific. When I talk to students or I'm counseling somebody through physical activity or nutrition, you know, we have to make measurable goals.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we don't focus on. One of my big pet peeves, besides the whole you're going to get sick if you go outside, you know, in a tank top or whatever.
It's true, though.
You
can't go outside in a tank top. Don't do it.
It's not true. You got to expose, you know.
No.
Eat some germs. You
zero
know,
degrees
good.
Outside.
No, but it's people say, I want to eat healthy. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. What does that look like?
It's so open.
Do you put healthy on a menu and go healthy?
Yeah.
Just pick how I want to eat healthy.
It's on the healthy menu, right? So I want two of those, please.
It's got the heart next to it.
Add cheese to that, please.
Cholesterol free.
That just means I get the Diet Coke with the Big Mac. That's all I'm saying.
And the large fries.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know, when I talk to people, it's a matter of making goals very smart, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time oriented, right? So if I want to lose weight, I'm going to lose 10 pounds by the end of February.
Say that again. Specific, measurable, attainable,
realistic, and time-oriented. Meaning that you're putting a deadline on it to make sure that you are held accountable.
21 days to break a habit, 21 days to make a habit.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's another key point that I think a lot of people miss. They go 5 days and they think that they're going to go. Right?
Is that a personal goal, that 10 pounds, or are you just throwing that out there?
That's attainable.
I have 10 pounds that I can easily give you.
I mean, if you're
like.
Putting it out there, we ought to make some kind of challenge, right? We ought to make this fun. We can't stay. We got to practice what we preach here on Faith on the Field show. If we're going
to
say,
definitely
I want,
have it to lose. Let's just say that more so than ever before. So
10 pounds?
Let's just say, like, I stepped on that scale a little bit, right? And so I've never seen that number on myself before.
Really?
So I'm a little disappointed. But
one of those.
I might go higher than 10, actually. So. Absolutely.
Well, you got to be attainable. you got to put something out there that you can accomplish. Another thing I wanted to touch on too, what Anthony Hitchens was talking about after his baptism, and I love this because it is so true for all of us, no matter where we are in life, no matter how deep our journey is, whether we're the greatest biblical scholar and a mega church leader, whoever you are in your journey as a Christian, he says, I'm not where I need to be. And how many of us can really honestly evaluate our lives and our situation and say, I'm not where I need to be, even though I'm doing the little things that I feel I need to do to get a little bit better, to grow in my relationship to Christ, to gain that intimacy that Pastor Kyle was talking about. But you're still not where you need to be. There's always something that you can strive for. If you feel that maybe you treat people, sometimes you have low tolerance, or you're not patient enough with. And let's face it. There's a lot of idiots, right? A lot of people out there who are going to try your nerves. I revealed my Hall of Fame voting Friday night, right around midnight, while I'm putting the girls to sleep individually, one by one, on Twitter. A lot of people loved it. They were engaged. They were commenting.
It was actually really cool, by the way. I was really grateful that you did that, by the way. It was cool.
Were you following along?
Yeah, it was cool.
And then there's people who one guy in particular, who called me an arrogant ASS for it. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to have fun. Just trying to be engaged. Like, trying
engaging
to do it
the crowd.
In
Absolutely.
A different way.
Yeah.
But I made it about me in this person's opinion. So you're not going to be able to please all these people. So I've always said about trolls on social media, I always try and go back at them in a nice way, non-confrontational, maybe even talk to them about, or just say something biblical, say God bless you. So I did that with this person, and he got even more irritated with me because I said to him, you know, whatever it is that's troubling you, I hope that you find peace and happiness. And all of a sudden, I'm a fraud in his mind. And I'm like, dude, just...
You can't cast pearls before swine.
I never block people. I never block people. That was it. I was after, like, I said, that's enough. I spent enough time. And I hit the block button. So I'm like, patience, tolerance. I'm not where I need to be. Because clearly, I'm not where I need to be because I engaged.
Yeah.
And even though my intent when I engaged in that conversation was to bring light into his life, whatever I said, no matter how I said it, he interpreted it a different way.
I think you know, that's such a, and we've talked off air a lot about managing social media. And I know we all have our own standards in that. I would just say something I had to learn in that, Rob, is that we have to recognize we're not leading people. Like, that person didn't give you an in to lead them. They're not asking for your influence. They're not, you know, they were using your platform to make their stance in their view. And so the more that we engage with that, we're not leading them. We're not influencing them because they're not open to be influenced. So, and that's where I think that those moments are interesting. But you said, you know, at times we start with this, we should be, or we should be better, or we're frustrated. You know, we have a saying that says, look, vision always motivates my future, but it frustrates my present. Vision always motivates my future. There's when you have a godly vision in your heart, mm-hmm. and you're realistic about where and who you really are, it'll frustrate your present because you're not there yet.
Yeah.
And that's when it comes back to whose vision is it? Whose timing are we willing to walk within? Where do we find our approval? Do we have to have that completed before we're okay with ourselves, or are we okay with ourselves where we are, even if we're not where we know we can be as we move forward? You know, ultimately, none of us are where we can be because we're all mortal. We're all disintegrating. We won't be like Christ until he comes and gets us.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll never get there.
Yeah, this is a, you know, in a physical sense, this is a losing battle. In a spiritual sense, you know, we're going to perfection, but we'll never be perfect. So in this moment, I just always want to come back to, no, the frustration you feel is normal. Because a godly vision should frustrate you. It motivates you to move forward into your future, but it frustrates you. You're not there yet. And that's where Paul comes back in Philippians 3. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Hey, man, I can't look at my failures. I can't look at what I'm not. I have to look at this upward call that God's called me to. And again, what I focus on, I give power to. If I focus on what I'm not rather than what I'm called to, mm-hmm. I give power to the negative rather than actually power to the Spirit of God and the vision of God in my life. So forgetting what lies behind, I strain forward to what lies ahead. Why? Because there's a call in my life to actually live out this thing for God.
Yeah, and I think that's what takes up most of your energy, too. It's that one negative little blemish. It's that one person that makes that comment out of all the other ones that are enjoying it, that are having a good time. Yeah. It's that one that just eats at you. And I think, you know, and this is, I'm guilty of it too, you know, but when you have that one blemish and that's what you focus on and it swirls around in your mind and you focus on that and you can't get off of it and you can't get off of it. And that's where I think when you're walking with Christ and when you're doing your devotions and when you're solid, you're able to get rid of it and
absolutely.
You're able to focus on the other things. And I find that too, is that all the things that are taking all my time and energy, I'm not replacing it with that other nail.
Yeah.
You know, that other piece.
Analogy, by the way.
So, you know, it's not mine. I'm trying to apply it. But, you know, you get the hammer and nail it right out. But you have to have the tools in order to do that, the accountability.
Yeah.
And
Paul talks a lot about that in, you know, 2 Corinthians 10 when he's talking about, hey, we don't wage war the way everyone else would wage war. How do we wage war? Well, there's thoughts that come into our mind that aren't godly thoughts about ourselves, about other people, about our future, our possibilities, about our past.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
do we have to do? We have to actually take them captive and then bring them into obedience, bring them into agreement with Jesus. What does Jesus say about those things? Not what does my grandmom say? What does my church think? Even my connect group or small group leader? What does Jesus think about this moment? And I know for myself, I'm not always as introspective as I need to about myself because I'm always, all right, well, I'll just change. Athlete, right? Tell me what I have to do to be better.
Right.
I'll do the 17 steps, the 48 things. I'll run the 16 circuits. What's the formula? And the formula isn't really those things. It really is, what does Jesus say? That's why you have to know him. What is he saying about that in this moment? And how do I bring that into agreement with who he is?
It's not a matter of working harder. It's a matter of working smarter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And just changing your perspective.
And you're never going to please everybody. You got to always understand, no matter whatever it is you're doing, you can't make everyone happy. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier in the first segment. It's if your aim, if your focus is that audience of one and the approval from God and pleasing the Lord and impressing the Lord in everything you do, and you don't care about what other people think, it won't bother you. It won't trouble you. And you won't waste 11 tweets like I did in 18 minutes of my life on somebody who was completely irrelevant at that time.
Yeah, correct.
And I think that's where I go wrong, is that you've understood and realized the point where it's not up to you to change that person.
Correct.
And I often try and look for those opportunities to change that person. It's not me. I can't change that person.
Yeah,
the Holy Spirit's going to change that person.
Correct.
Maybe I can plant a seed.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do that. But trying to decipher when it is my time and when it is my opportunity, a Twitter troll probably isn't.
It's I would always say I don't think that they are, Rob, because at the end of the day, what they do is that they distract the rest of the feed from the real purpose behind what you're talking about, and so they hijack your platform. You have through sweat and tears and blood and hard work have created a platform that people want to follow. Mm-hmm. So you start talking about Jesus, or you start talking about the truth, enemies always going to come up there, or hurt people, or brokenness always wants to distract that. And so then everyone who's then going to try to protect Rob hops in on that. Yep. And then it's, and then what we find is we're 8 miles away from where we started out. Yeah. Not it's because we've allowed that to someone to hijack a platform. So I actually believe that what you're talking about is true. I think what we have to do is value the message that we're trying to disseminate over the opinion of the person. Mm-hmm. So no. The message that, because the message is truth. The message changes people. So that's where I would always, you know, I watch it all the time with pastors' feeds, and they hop on there, and then people in church start to bash that person, and you're 1,900 miles away from where you started. And you just, wait a minute, you just gave the enemy all sorts of, and
that's all he wants to do anyway. He just wants to create a distraction.
Talk about a pastor we both know very well, Pastor Carl Lentz.
Yeah.
I've talked to him about this, and he's got it there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
he gets these guys coming, and sometimes he will engage.
Yeah, and so will the people in the church trying to protect him. And then I get that. And that's where I say, wait a minute, we're allowing the enemy to hijack something. But let me just get back to something for one thing, because you really hit on something that's important. Us having an attitude of gratitude, which I think is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think what we have to, because that's so essential, one of the things that undermines our gratitude is a sense of entitlement. And we live in a culture of entitlement, don't we? I mean, it's the number one thing that everyone thinks somebody owes them something, whether it's a boss or an organization, the government, a friend. Someone owes me something. And when we have that same attitude with God, yeah, but God owes me. Yeah, but I changed. I gave him my life, but I give, but I've served. I've changed in diapers. I mean, do you know how many cars that I parked this week when it was cold out there for Jesus and church? Like, and it's easy. I get it. It's easy to feel entitled from God. But when we feel entitled from God, we actually miss having an attitude of gratitude. So the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, I've done all these things. Basically what he's saying, don't I deserve heaven? And Jesus said, hey, let's check this out right here. Are you willing to surrender this? And I always think that entitlement is revealed in the atmosphere of surrender. Mm-hmm. Because whatever you are not willing to surrender, you feel entitled to keep is yours.
That's a great point.
Your money, your time, whatever that is.
If you're not willing to give it
that's
up.
That's what I'm saying. It's when he said, God's, you know, Jesus was not against. He's not telling everybody they have to sell everything, give it to the poor. He was looking at one thing that man loved more than him, and said, if you're not willing to surrender this, you feel entitled to it. And I just, it means that we're not, it really is a revealer of, it robs us of our gratitude.
It's hard though, man, because when you do all that work and you do so many things that are good, that are beneficial for somebody else, and it's like, you're going to focus on that one thing I didn't do, right? And that's where it becomes difficult.
Because he wants all of you.
So what you're telling everybody and me is that we just got to give that up. That should never be part of the argument, is listing everything, all the good, and saying that should outweigh that one bad.
I think what we have to be honest with is that all of us are going to have that feeling. All of us are going to have the feeling of entitlement. But God,
it's a defense mechanism.
But God,
right?
it's a coping mechanism.
Say, whoa! Don't stop attacking
me.
Right?
The thought doesn't make us bad people. You know, we talk all the time about you can't help who knocks on your door, but you can help who you entertain in your living room. It's not the thoughts that come across your mind that are the problem. It's you entertaining those thoughts and acting on them. So sin is not an action. Sin is birthed in a thought that actually gives birth, the Bible says, to actions. So we always edify the action. Oh my gosh, Jesus, look what he's doing. Jesus always actually focused on the thought. Mm-hmm. If you have lust for a woman, you've already committed adultery.
So it's the behavior. We're focused on the behavior and not
correct.
The heart condition.
The heart condition.
Right.
So
yeah, absolutely.
In this moment, all of us can have a feeling of entitlement with God. Look what I've given up for you. But when we actually look in comparison to what he gave up for us,
absolutely,
it really is, again, change. So let me just, and I don't want to hop off this, but communion really helps. Remember in communion, Jesus says, this is the cup of the new covenant. This is a new beginning. You can't do this. You can't create a new beginning. Only I can do this. And so when we actually get back to this whole thing and realize how much he gave up, who he is, what he's done, what I really deserve versus what he gives me every day. I deserve death. He gives me life. I deserve hell. He gives me heaven. I deserve sickness and sin. He gives me health and wholeness. When I actually get back to it, in intimacy with him, everything changes.
That's powerful. That is powerful. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. You are listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you like karaoke, make sure you head over to the Frontier Saloon in Folsom, PA, where DJ Cat runs karaoke every Friday night. You'll find DJ Cat singing and taking karaoke requests starting at 9:30 p.m. There's no better way to start your weekend, so get to the Frontier Saloon at 336 Kedron Avenue in Folsom for Friday night karaoke with DJ Cat.
Hi, it's Rob Motti. Make a difference, be a blessing is the sign-off I use every time I finish a radio show. But it's not just a cute saying or a catchphrase. These are words I try to live by. It's who I am. It's the legacy I want to leave behind. That's why Remy and I have started Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation. Our passion is helping underprivileged youth and trafficking victims. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world after drug dealing, and stats say it's the fastest growing. It's not just happening in faraway places in third world countries. Arrests have been made right here in the Delaware Valley in recent months. The victims of these evil crimes need help restarting their lives and dealing with the trauma. There's also a shortage of shelters for survivors. If you'd like to help, check out BeABlessingFoundation.com and please consider making a tax-deductible donation. Thank you. And welcome back to Faith on Field Show, presented by Eastern University 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I'm Bob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. This is episode 37. We started last April, first episode of the new year, 37th episode overall. And if you missed any of the previous shows, you can always catch up on iTunes, subscribe to Faith on a Field Show, download, listen at your convenience. You can leave us a review. We would appreciate that. You can go on our website, faithonafieldshow.com, and find all of our podcast also listed on there. And we've had some incredible guests over the first 37 episodes. Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Jason Tatum, Adam Wainwright, Mike Schmidt, Coach Dabo Sweeney, Clemson Tigers, defending national champions, but they will not win it again. Yep.
Rough game.
Deshaun Watson, who's been on the show, was there on the sideline with Tim Tebow, who hasn't been on the show yet. So we're gonna have to get Tim Tebow at some point. Pastor Levi Lusco has been on, Newsboys drummer Duncan Phillips, and many more. So find us on Facebook, find us online at faithonthefieldshow.com and on iTunes. We are out of time, guys. So I want to thank all of our sponsors. I want to thank Eastern University, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Pastor Scott Foreman, Bree Grignano, interns Dakota Boring and Sal Tortora. Thank you to our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle for allowing us the time to make this stuff happen. Producer Ryan Lennox back there. Thank you for all the fine work you do. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you to make a difference. Be a blessing.